Thank you so much, Willie, for that wonderful time of worship. Before I begin the message, let me again wish all the dads in the house and father figures out there in the community and society at large a happy Father's Day. Father's Day is a good opportunity for us to celebrate, honor, and appreciate all the responsible, loving, and caring dads and father figures in our church, community, and society for their leadership and sacrifice. Acknowledging their sacrificial and unconditional love for their families. Fathers, thank you for all you do. We thank God for you. And as earlier alluded to, if this day brings you sorrow, grief, and traumatic memories due to a negative experience with a broken father figure in the past, or if this day conveys painful feelings for you, we are so sorry for your loss and pain. We mourn and we grieve with you. We pray that the Lord will continue to surround you with love, peace, and comfort. One of the most remarkable achievements by human beings is the art and science of communication through the airwaves. Symbols, written and verbal words, images, gestures, and signs. For example, through symbols and signs, such as stop signs, speed limit signs, road construction signs, warning of double fines for speeders, and photos of kids asking drivers to please slow down because my daddy works here, we can convey both covert and overt messages, understand both instructions and expectations, as well as commands, rules, prohibitions, do's, and don'ts. Some signs require us not to trespass on private property and to be aware of dogs. While others say something like, no smoking or vaping, no parking, no bicycles allowed, caution, hidden approach, wrong way, do not enter, to mention but a few. In some buildings with the COVID-19 pandemic, some social distancing signs, health, hygiene practices, and mandatory masking signs are posted just about everywhere we go. Some signs make us form lines 6 feet apart and enforce the masking mandates and health protocols, while others warn of consequences if we don't obey the signs. As earlier alluded to, these signs and images constantly remind us about the general public's expectations and obligations, which include what to do and what not to do. When we read these signs and symbols and images, we know exactly what is expected of us and we know what is being communicated. Whether you view these signs as helpful or not, designed to protect and guide you, or as an obvious, outrageous attempt to take the fun out of life, annoy you and steal your happiness, rights, and freedoms, depends on your viewpoint or worldview, the lenses through which you see, understand, interpret, and assign meaning to the world. For example, one person may view a speed limit as a warning sign that keeps them from causing accidents and putting others in jeopardy. Another person may view that same sign as an intrusion, an infringement, a violation of their rights and freedoms, and a deliberate attempt to steal their ability to enjoy the drive. Like when a police officer pulled a driver over for speeding and asked, "Do you know how fast you were going?" "Sorry, I was just trying to catch up with traffic," said the driver. "There's no traffic. The highway is empty," said the officer. And then the driver responded, "That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm far behind trying to catch up with everybody." Or a guy who was caught going at 75 kilometers per hour on a street with a 50 kilometers per hour sign. And he had the nerve to tell the police officer that he had just washed his car and all he wanted was for it to dry out as quickly as possible. That's why he was going fast. That's the reason he was speeding, he told the officer. That may make you laugh, but you will be amazed. You'll be surprised at what people are willing to say and do just to get out of getting a ticket or a few demerits on their license. In a world where we are constantly wrestling with the implications of the COVID-19 pandemic and the lockdowns, economical turmoil and high inflation rates at 3.6% according to the media, day and night we're dealing with a decimation of small businesses and the nuclear family, and the advent of tyranny and unrest across the globe. And what looks like global socialism, communism, and authoritarianism, we need to all remind ourselves that God, in the scriptures, has revealed himself to us through signs of the times, through symbols, through boundaries, images, commands, prohibitions, do's and don'ts. He has told us what he detests and what he hates, as well as what he likes, to show us exactly what not to do so that we don't end up facing his wrath as a consequence for our disobedience, our sinful acts, our non-compliance to his word, and utter disregard for his precepts and ordinances in his word. But remember that no matter what we do to follow the rules of God's commandments, we can never attain right standing with God on our own. We can't earn or merit God's approval by performing all the requirements of the law and obeying all the rules. Remember, we tried that before and we failed lamentably. Our righteousness, scripture says, is as filthy rags before God. It took Jesus to die for us on the cross as a ransom for our sin, for us to attain right standing with God. Jesus became sin. He who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And that is if we believe. Believe because we can only receive this gift of redemption by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That is by trusting and believing in Him for our salvation, not by keeping all the rules and laws. Because we know by now that is humanly impossible. It's like chasing the wind. Anybody in the house has ever caught the wind? So this morning we continue with our sermon series, What God Hates. So far we have dealt with haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes. And today we explore the fifth abominable sin that God hates. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. In other words, feet that are quick to run to evil. Disobeying all the speed limit signs, passing all the stop signs, prohibitions, do's and don'ts, going 150 kilometers per hour in the wrong direction. Our text is still Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19, which says, God hates haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running into mischief, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord, that means dissension, divisions, or conflict among the brethren, brothers and sisters. So today we focus on verse 18b, which says in the New Living Translation, God hates feet that race to do wrong. In the Amplified, God hates feet that run swiftly to evil. And then in the Message Bible, God hates feet that race down a wicked track. What does the idiom feet that are swift in running to mischief mean? Let me define the word mischief for you. Mischief in our context refers to evil actions of any kind. It could be misbehavior, misconduct, disobedience, or perversity. It has the quality of being harmful to others. So, feet that make haste to run to mischief describes the person who hastens to carry out the evil plans of disobedience, perversity, naughtiness, or misbehavior, maliciously and potentially harming themselves and others as well. Not only do they devise wicked purposes, but they are swift to put their evil thoughts into practice. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 16 says, their feet run into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. And Isaiah 59 verse 7 adds, they pursue evil schemes. Acts of violence mark their ways. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity and desolation as well as destruction. One pastor says, when your feet carry you to do evil, when they carry you to worldly places, when they carry you around the country, spreading lies, rumors, and gossip, when they carry you from bed to bed, from pleasure to pleasure, your feet reveal the condition of your heart. What you do is what is in your heart. Because from the heart flows the issues of life. In other words, the feet swift to run into mischief presupposes eagerness, zeal, unhesitating energy of evil to carry into effect the wickedness which their hearts devise. They rush into sin, not even thinking of the consequences. Their only goal is pleasure, money, power, influence, and hurting others to satisfy their sick and desperate evil desires. They don't stop and think about their actions. They run swiftly to take advantage of others without hesitation. Romans chapter 3, verses 13 to 18 says, their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know, because their hearts are darkened. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Since, just in case you're wondering, evil does exist, and it resides in the hearts of men, especially those who are not saved. They rush into sin with misguided zeal because they lack understanding and restraint. Neither do they fear God. Romans chapter 1, verse 29 to 32, again Paul says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy, although they know God's righteous decrees, and that those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them. The question that I have is, how do we counteract feet that are swift to run to mischief? How do we restrain feet that run into mischief? Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 to 15. In a New Living Translation, the Bible says, don't do as the wicked do, and don't follow the path of evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep moving. Turn away and keep moving. Restrain yourself from the trap of evil. Restrain yourself. It's a bait. The devil will get you. Abstain from evil. Restrain yourself. Here I would like to propose that the only deterrent from falling into the abomination of running swiftly to evil is the fear of God. The root cause of falling into mischief is a lack of the fear of God. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is seen in hating evil." Pride, a high opinion of oneself, the evil way, and the false tongue, they are all unpleasing to God. Since only the fear of God will keep us from entertaining the spirit of swiftly running into mischief. For the fear of God is to hate evil. In Proverbs 28, verse 14, in the Amplified, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord at all times, regardless of circumstances, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." With that said, those who do not fear God cannot hurt evil, and their minds will constantly be searching for new ways to sin. They even lie awake at night, devising new mischievous schemes, planning, plotting, scheming at midnight hour, planning to carry out evil. Proverbs or Psalms 36, verse 1 to 4 says, "Sin speaks to the wicked. Deep in their hearts, they reject God and do not have reverence for him because they think so highly of themselves. They think that God will not discover their sin and condemn it. Their speech is wicked and full of lies. They no longer do what is wise and good. They make evil plans as they lie in bed. Nothing they do is good, and they never neglect or reject anything evil. They run to it swiftly." So if you find yourself eagerly running to evil, you can be sure that you do not fear the Lord, as the Bible calls us to. And your heart needs transformation. Those who fear the Lord will hate evil, and therefore actively avoid running swiftly into evil. They will not tolerate any kind of sin. They will stand up and rebuke sin because they have the fear of God. They can never be silent in the presence of sin. They will speak up and they will call it for what it is. Because many times sin comes as an angel of light. But you have the ability by the Holy Spirit to discern what is light and what is darkness. And you can call it for what it is. No matter how disguised it might look, as something good for you. Evil is evil sense. It's a trap of the enemy. So here is the remedy for avoiding running into mischief. Quickly. Point one. Deal swiftly with the evil intent of your heart. Deal swiftly with the evil intent of your heart. From your heart comes the issues of life. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11 says, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. We don't usually receive instant repercussions for our sin. Because of that, we continue in our evil ways, stiff-necked. Solomon's point is that if we do not deal swiftly with the evil that our hearts devise, we will soon or later face dire consequences for our actions. So don't tolerate or entertain evil thoughts, words, intents, and deeds of your heart. Remember, it's a bait. It's a trap. You will pay a high price with that. And you as a child of God should be able to discern the trap of the enemy and expose it. Second, watch your companions, influencers, and agitators of evil. Proverbs chapter 1 verses 15 to 16 says, my son, do not go along with them, that is evildoers. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. This, beloved, is great counsel that could help us avoid the influence of those whose feet are swift in running to mischief. Since we become like the company we keep and the influencers we allow in our lives, let us be watchful. If we are to avoid feet that are swift to run to mischief, we must avoid those whose feet are swift to run to evil. Because bad company corrupts good morals, just like cancer. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, in the Amplified says, blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit down to rest in the seat of scoffers. You are blessed if you can tell the difference between light and darkness. Because today we have lots of influencers hiding behind anonymity through social media and influencing masses against God. You can tell what is of a devil. And that's how Satan comes. He uses influencers to mislead lots of people. And we can expose that in Jesus' name. And finally, resist the devil and submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and submit yourself to God. James chapter 4 verse 7 says, resist the devil, submit yourself to God, and he will flee from you. And that means, to paraphrase, the only way you can make the devil run away from you, to flee from you and leave you alone, is if you submit to God. If you submit to God. Therefore, every day, make sure you are submitted to God and follow him. Live for him. Make a difference for him. Our feet often run to evil because we don't stop to think about where we are going. what will be the ramifications of our words and actions? What does God think about our actions or lack of it? The best way to avoid evil is to actively ponder, examine, and test the condition of our hearts. From where the issues of life proceed. So let me pause there and ask you a question. How is your heart before God? How is your heart before God? What's the attitude of your heart? What's the posture of your heart toward God? I'll let you answer that question in your heart with your God. Instead of hastening in your eagerness to do evil, make your prayer that of the psalmist who said in Psalm 119, verse 101, I hold back my feet from evil to keep your word. I hold back, I restrain myself in order to keep your word. And I pray that that will be your prayer. In closing, the story is told of a young boy and his buddies who got angry at a farmer because he forbade them from taking a shortcut through his farm. They had been climbing over his fence and trampling down his crops, and he told them not to trespass. One boy who was the ringleader of the group slipped into the farm one night and sowed Johnson grass over the entire farm. If you know anything about Johnson grass, you know that it spreads rapidly and takes over. It's practically impossible to get rid of it. That boy grew up, fell in love with that farmer's daughter, and married her. When the farmer died, that boy inherited the farm. And he spent the rest of his life fighting Johnson grass. And here is the moral of the story. Carnal Christians and evil people fail to realize that whatsoever a person sows, that shall he or she reap. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 9, in the Amplified, warns, do not deceive yourself. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, this and this only is what he will reap. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The question is, what are you sowing? What is the condition of your heart? Where have your feet been leading you to? Have you been swiftly running to mischief? Has God's word been a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path? Are you running swiftly into mischief and away from God? 1,000 miles an hour in the wrong direction. What is God saying to you this morning? And what do you think God wants you to do about it? Again, I'll let you answer that question in your heart. But remember, if you are found wanting, you know what to do. Repent and turn away from your wicked ways. And God will forgive you and give you a clean plate like you never sinned.
That's the kind of Father we serve. Abba, Father, the God of love. Let's pray together. God, our eternal Father, we thank you for the clarity, the power of your word. Our prayer this morning is that we may not be hearers only, but doers of the word of God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to examine our hearts, to search our hearts, and if there is any wicked way in us, forgive us. Wash us in the blood of Jesus. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to walk in light. Help us to make a difference in this world for God. To run away from evil and not into evil. Help us to stand against the forces of darkness, the influence of the enemy and the demonic forces in this world. Help us, Lord Jesus, to expose all works of Satan with the truth. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. May it not return to the void, but change our hearts and draw us closer and closer to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit go before each one of us. Because we ask it in the mighty, worthy name of Jesus. And somebody in the house said amen. Thank you, saints, for listening, and God bless you. Go in peace.